Welcome to Hype episode 143. My name is Selena and I'm here with Pam and Merima this week. We are back to talk entertainment news again. How are you guys?
Good. How are
Super
you?
Super pumped for the news.
Woo, it's going to be a good really episode.
I hope so. Yes. I mean, it's funny because it's been a slow news week. And then today, which is Tuesday, we had a bunch of news stories that broke that we're going to be talking about, which is going to be fun. So I'm excited to get into it. Lots of Disney and superhero news stories that we like to do. Oh. Yes, but we will get to all of that. But the first thing we're going to do, as always, is the contact information. If you want to send us your thoughts about this week's news or anything else you want us to talk about, you can do that by emailing hype@hypeable.com. You can find us on Twitter @hypeablehype. You can find us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. You can find us on Instagram, which is hypeablehype on Instagram. And you can find us on Hypeable itself, which is hypable. And we also have a Patreon, which we're gonna get into some Patreon topics later in this episode. We're so excited for everyone who has pledged to us so far. It's such a great help, and we're gonna be able to let you know where that's all going very soon. So thank you so much. If you want to go check out our Patreon and see what we have to offer, you can do that at patreon.com/hypepodcast. We've just launched a really exciting thing for our $5 patrons, I believe. Is it $3? Why can I never remember?
It's $5 for video people.
It's $5. For the $5 video for the $5 pledges who get to see our weekly videos, we're doing Hype Book Club, where we talk about The Raven Boys, which is the first of Maggie Stillwater's books, The Raven Cycle, because it's been turned into a TV show. So we're going to be reading it, and it's a lot of fun. And Merima has her video up already, and I'm releasing mine this week. So go check that out on patreon.com/hypepodcast. Moving on to how we hype, we tell you what we've been doing in fandom this past week. Pam, what have you been doing?
Oh, I had a feeling you were going to call me first. I've been listening to some new music. This is actually like a really exciting time for music because a lot of artists are coming back and a lot of artists are like emerging. And one of the artists that's making a big comeback right now is Paramore. They've been gone for a couple of years and they just released their first single called Hard Times. And this is actually pretty big because infamously the Farrow brothers both left Paramore a few years ago, and Zach Farrow is officially back with the band, which is incredibly exciting just because he has had such a huge hand. Both of the Farrow brothers had had such a huge hand in the creation of some of Paramore's biggest hits over the past few years. So Hard Times is very different from kind of maybe what you might think Paramore would put out. It's very 80s inspired. It's really fun and the lyric work is really great. And their album is actually coming out on May 12th, which is the same day that Harry Styles' album comes out. So that's going to be a very interesting day for me.
But competition.
I know. I mean, we all know I'm going to listen to Harry first, but I am really excited to see what Paramore is going to do now that they're kind of back. There is a lot of very interesting interviews coming out with the band. So I would recommend just kind of like looking up some of those to kind of get a better feel for how much this band has gone through. Basically, Hayley Williams has said over the past few weeks that she actually didn't think that there would be another Paramore album, and it all kind of came together when Zach kind of re-entered the picture and things like that. So it's kind of cool that we're getting something at all. And it's just going to be really fun to see how they've kind of reinvented themselves because their sound tends to change slightly with each album. So, yeah.
Cool.
I was going to say that just on Paramore, the interviews, I think it was in the New York Times that they had a really interesting profile. And it was like quite inside baseball about like all the different changes, like you were saying, but also about their like different arrangements with their record label and stuff. And it was super interesting. Like, yeah. I'm not even a huge Paramore fan, but I mean, it was kind of sad, mm-hmm. but it was also really fascinating. So I would definitely recommend that one.
Mm-hmm. I will say that I feel like that one was very ho-hum in nature. Basically, just to sum it up, for those of you who don't know, Paramore, like as the band, is like not signed. It's just Hayley Williams who is signed. So, but she's always made it very clear that Paramore is a band. So it is very interesting, like Marima said. I would read that one too, but I would also read Zane Lowe's in-depth interview with them, because he just like, he asked such brilliant questions. And I think a part two is coming out too. So if you kind of want to get like a bunch of different aspects of what the band has been through, I would definitely read that one, like Marima suggested, but also the Zane Lowe interview, because I feel like that is going to be pleasing to like hardcore fans of the band. Because he just like, knows
definitely what to ask. Definitely take Pam's recommendation over mine.
Like, no, but 100%. The New York Times, that one's really good too. I was like very intrigued by it, and then I felt really sad about it. And then I read the Zane Lowe interview, and I felt a little bit better about the New York Times interview.
Oh, that's good.
I think
okay.
They go hand in hand.
And what do you have, Marima?
Well, I don't think I've been on for a while, so I've been seeing a bunch of movies, but I saw Get Out finally last week. It's like, I think it's just about to come out in Australia, which is the like horror. So, like, to say first, I'm a huge wimp. I hate all horror movies. I like do not go and see them. I know this about myself. But I really wanted to see this because, you know, it's like a commentary on American race relations. So it's kind of my jam. And it was so good. It was so, so good. I know in the States it's like come and gone in the cinemas, but I'm sure it must be streaming somewhere by now, or it will be very soon. And I just cannot recommend this enough. Even if you, like me, are a super big wimp who cannot deal with horror movies, it's like a perfect movie. Like, there isn't, for what it was trying to do and like what it achieved, there is not a single thing that I would change. And the casting, it is amazing. You know, it's about black guy who goes back to his white girlfriend's, to meet his white girlfriend's parents, like away for the weekend, and then like things happen. It's just so, so good. It's so really, really good. So I would definitely recommend that. Yeah, I did not have nightmares about it. So, you know, that's as much reassurance as I can give you. And then I saw Guardians of the Galaxy like a couple of nights ago, and this volume 2, obviously. And that was really fun. I don't know if I liked it as much as I definitely didn't like it as much as the first one. I think it lost a little bit of that humor that came from the surprise of that being a Guardians film. Because, you know, the first time you're like, oh, wow, this is not Marvel. And this time you're like, okay, I get the shtick, like what's going on. But that being said, there were definitely a couple of scenes where I was literally crying with laughter. And there was also a couple of scenes that were like weirdly emotional. So that happened. And it kind of makes me want to rewatch the first one because of some of the character stuff that happened. But, you know, it was a little bit boring in places, honestly. I feel like the pacing was a little off, so it was less consistent. It's not to say that it wasn't enjoyable, but it was definitely less consistent than the first one, I think. So, you know, I was much more like, oh, now I'm enjoying it. Oh, now I'm a bit bored as it was going on. So I'll be really interested to hear what you guys think when you see it. Soundtrack, obviously, yeah, amazing.
We were going to talk about it for longer, but neither me and Pam have seen it yet because it's not out for us. So we'll probably be getting back to this next week when we've all seen it.
Yeah, there's definitely plenty to discuss, so it will be interesting to have a longer conversation. But, like, I would say definitely go and see it for people who were fans of the first one. It's not, like, you know, terrible or anything. It's just a little rockier than the first one was. But, you know, that's a sequel thing, so not totally surprising.
Yeah. And did you want to talk about Raven Boys?
Oh, well, you mentioned already. I'm just reading the Raven Boys still, and like, I'm obsessed with it, so you can, it's taking a lot of self-control to stop after 12 chapters, because we've split it up into 12 each, and I'm, like, trying to read in solidarity with you guys now, even though technically I could read the whole thing. And the other night, actually, when I got home from Guardians, I read the next 12 chapters that you were talking about, Selena, in one night, and then was like, oh god, I have to stop now. So I guess we'll see if that self-control continues, but yeah, I'm really loving this book, and also I am so on board with your theory that you proposed to us. I don't know if you want to spoil that or like keep that for your video.
I'll talk about it in my video.
Yeah, but I was like, now I can only read with that in my brain.
Me
and
too.
It's like blown my mind, and it's made the book 1,000% more enjoyable, and I was really enjoying it anyway. So I'm very excited about that. I told my best friend about it, I was like, have you ever thought about it like this? And she was like, yes. And then started breaking it down for me. And I was like, oh my God, amazing. So that's a little tease. You'll be able to hear all about that in Selena's video this week.
Definitely. I'm still working my way through my chapters, but yeah, keep an eye out on that on Patreon. And check out the book as well, whether you're a Patreon or not, because as we talked about last week, it's going to be turned into a TV show, and it's very exciting, and it's definitely a book that will be discussed a lot, and you probably want to read it before you get spoiled
and
all the discussion going on.
When we have finished reading it, we'll probably do like a bonus audio about it or something.
Yeah,
there'll be like...
it'll be fun.
For all our Patreon subscribers, something definitely. Like that. Yeah. I just want to talk about this book forever. I want to talk about your fan theory about this book forever.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Well, we'll get into that. But for now, let's move on into the news, where we are going to be talking about what has been going on in entertainment this past week. And I've got the first story in the doc. Fantastic Beasts 2. We talked at length about the casting of Jude Law as Dumbledore last week. And Merma, you get to chime in on that too if you want to. But for now, the news story is that the sequel to Fantastic Beasts has also cast Newt's brother, Theseus. It's Callum Turner, who you probably haven't heard of because he's fairly unknown. He's had roles in The Green Room, Tramps, Assassin's Creed. And if you look at pictures of him, like, there's some resemblance to Eddie Redmayne. Sure, I could see it. He also weirdly looks like the youngest Jonas brother, I think, in my own personal estimation of his face. But you can decide that for yourself. So Theseus... Scamander is as we found out in the first movie, is a Grindelwald hunter, and there's actually a little clue on display in the studio tour in London, where there's a letter from Theseus to Newt where he writes, "I have been chosen to go away and ferret him out. I don't know how much you have heard wherever you are about what's going on in jolly old Europe, but this chap Grindelwald has been making a lot of noise since you have been away." So there's no doubt that he is British. Just if you didn't know that already, this letter proved that. Andrew speculates that maybe he is killed by Grindelwald, and then Newt sort of takes revenge on him. Who knows what's going to happen? Fantastic Beasts is a lot more violent than the Harry Potter films, and they were already pretty violent, so I'm sure that's probably likely to happen. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I don't know what you guys think. If you have any thoughts on this casting, are you excited to see Theseus?
He looks like a Burberry model. That's all I can think of in my head. Like, I 1,000% have seen this guy in a trench coat, like, in a big advertisement. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, he's fine, I guess. I don't think I've seen him in anything.
But then Eddie Redmayne is also a model.
Well, so true. Actually,
like, I've definitely seen him.
Didn't he also do Burberry? I feel like he did.
I'm pretty sure, something like that.
If you're, like, British and you look mildly like this, I guess you do Burberry. Emma Watson did it too, so anyway. Yeah. Now getting sidetracked. I mean, this is fine, I guess. I hope he doesn't talk the way he writes his letters, because, like, that would be really obnoxious.
What are you talking about, jolly old chap?
Yes, chap. In jolly old, you know, England. Oh, God. I mean, that's a letter written by an American, right? Like, 100%. Okay, let's try and think about this. I guess this is good news for the people who are worried that the films are pivoting away from Newt's story, because, mm-hmm. like, we're getting a bigger focus on, if we're seeing his family and stuff, that's probably a good sign, right? But I just don't care enough, I guess, to really speculate about this. I don't have much to say on the Younguldor or whatever casting, except that I think, like, Jude Law is probably too good for the Harry Potter films. And I don't really like the casting, only because, like, I would just be like, Jude Law, make better choices. Like, why are you doing this? And aww. Also because I just cannot imagine him and Johnny Depp, like, working together. I just can't imagine how that is going to work on screen at all. Like, even if I put aside all of my disdain for Johnny Depp for various reasons, like, that pairing just doesn't really make any sense to me. And I'm 100% sure they did not make them do, like, a chemistry test. So I guess we'll see. But I mean, I think, like, in theory, Jude Law in a Fantastic Beasts movie that I was actually invested in, I feel like Jude Law would be probably actually really good casting.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't care about this. And also, it's just, like, more big name. I mean, I kind of feel like there's almost a fluke that Jude Law is so good, because I actually think he's a really good actor. I think it's mostly that they just wanted to cast like another big name, which makes me like roll my eyes very hard at these movies. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with this. But I'm sure Pam has some positivity to shine on on Theseus at least.
Well, I mean, like, I think that it'll just be interesting to see what they do with the addition of Theseus in the story, because I think we know that he's kind of like the golden child to Newt's outsider. So I think that if they have time to explore that relationship, that'll be fairly intriguing. But we just don't really know, like, what they're going to do, or if he's just going to be like, what if he's just like a photo, you know? Like, what's her face? Like, Zoe Kravitz, you know what I mean? We don't see him till like book five because he's been off, like, he got captured by Grindelwald's henchmen or something. You know what I mean? Like, we don't really know.
No, Pam, it's like fine because he's white, so he'll be in the film.
Oh, of course. Oh. That's the golden rule.
I mean, yes.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to figure out, like, especially like sometimes because I think as Harry Potter fans, like we know so much about the series that we hear names or see names and we're like, oh, this person must have a big role because they're so and so. But then the movie just completely cuts them out, say, for like a mention and they just needed them to, you know, appear like,
they might do that with a cameo. Dumbledore.
Right. So we'll see what happens.
Okay, well, moving on to news that I can get much more enthusiastic about. We got the very first trailer for Kingsman: The Golden Circle. This came out yesterday, actually, just as we're recording. And they released a little teaser, and then we got the full trailer. The thing that everyone is freaking out about is, of course, the return of Colin Firth with the eye patch. Because I guess when you, like, die in the manner that he did in the first film, as long as you have an eye patch, you're fine. Anyway, that came as a surprise to both the characters in the trailer, as well as, I guess, some fans, although we kind of knew he was going to be back in some capacity. And we got to see some looks at some of the new cast members, including Channing Tatum and Halle Berry, and mostly it focused on Eggsy and a lot of explosions. But this looks so fun, and it looks like the first one, and I cannot wait for September. Are you guys into it?
I am. No, okay. Not so much.
Oh my God, Selena, what? Are you not in the Kingsman Club?
No, this is the movie that's made for you and me, though, Marima, because, you know.
That's so true.
It just plays to all the things that we like. Cheesy, it's just action, like spy stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's fun. I really enjoyed the Frank Sinatra playing in the background amidst all the explosions, too. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, like the music in the first one was really good. It's very, The first movie was very, like, heightened in various ways, and a lot of that was about, like, the sort of different aesthetic choices that they were making, just aside from plot, and I feel like this trailer really captures that again. So, like, it just seems like a kind of fun continuation, maybe a little bit more ridiculous, and I am so here for it. I don't know why I'm so into this, but I am, and I'll take it.
Because you know what you're going to get, and you know it's going to be
fun.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And it's like a bit, I mean, I know that there are people, I know there are people on the internet who like analyze these movies to like the nth degree, but like for me, it's just a kind of mindless.
We don't do that. Definitely never would do that here.
Well, not these movies. So I'm not saying like there isn't more substance to it. I'm just saying for me personally, it's a kind of mindless, like just fun, sort of silly enjoyment thing. And, you know, sometimes you really need that amongst the stress of like, you know, entertainment these days. So yeah, I'm here for it. It's going to be great. Pam and I will be recording a special about it, obviously, coming soon.
Oh, please do. That would be fun. Yeah, who cares if I like it or not? Like, you guys like it. That's great. Yeah. I'm excited for
you. Were you not a fan of the first one?
No.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Oh.
For all kinds of reasons that I don't need to go into. Who cares? You guys like it. That's what matters.
Oh my gosh, that's the best response that I've ever heard you give. This is what you get when you come and listen to hype podcasts, you guys.
Well articulated arguments.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's good to have a healthy balance. This is great. Last week, you and I were both really excited about Jude Law. This week, Marima's like, meh, you know? No, it's Kingsman. Exactly. It's good.
Well, yeah, if you need someone to not be excited about it, I usually got you back. Kingsman being the exception.
Well, I hope that this next news story from Disney has some things that we can all be excited about.
Actually, yes. Well, we'll get there.
Disney actually just announced a bunch of scheduling changes, including new release dates for the likes of Star Wars Episode 9, The Lion King, and of course, the highly anticipated Frozen 2. So this is all very exciting.
Deep freeze.
This is really exciting if you've been waiting for some of these movies for the longest time. So let's start off with Star Wars, because this is something we can all get behind. We can expect Episode 9 to be released May 29th, 2019, which is interesting because this veers away from the December release dates we're getting for the next movie and what we got for Force Awakens.
Didn't they also originally plan for Last Jedi to come out in summer, and then they pushed it? Or am I making that up?
I feel like you might not have been making that up. It was either... Okay. I don't remember that. I want to say Last Jedi. It was one of the Star Wars movies, for sure.
I just can't remember if it was this one or got pushed.
Oh, yeah, it could have been Rogue One.
Because
they did all those reshoots and everything. I feel like this is weird, though.
It is a little weird, but at the same time, because Star Wars is such an action-packed movie, it makes sense for it to either show up right around the holidays or during the summer. So it's going to be interesting to see what it's... Go on.
Sorry, I just want to fact check us. So it was Episode 8. It was The Last Jedi. It was meant to be May 26th, 2017, and then it was pushed to December 15th, 2017. So it's actually this one that's the odd one out and not the next one. And then the next one might get pushed again. Who knows?
Oh, very interesting. Well, there you go. That's your history of Star Wars release dates. We also got the release date for the live action Lion King, which we're all incredibly excited for. That's coming out on my birthday, July 19th, 2019.
Yay!
Hey, Donald Glover is a gift that we all need, regardless of whether it's our birthday.
100%.
So I'm here for this. If Beyonce's in it, that's like extra birthday present for everyone. It's everybody's birthday. Frozen 2 is going to hit theaters on November 27th, 2019. Indiana Jones 5 is coming out July 10th, 2020. The other one we're all very excited for as well, A Wrinkle in Time, that's going to be coming out March 9th, 2018. And Wreck-It Ralph 2, the sequel we probably all forgot about, at least if you're like me, is coming out November 21st, 2018. So,
okay, so Frozen 2, Deep Freeze, I hope that's the title. Look, I'm actually really excited that this is happening. Not because I'm excited for the movie, because I'm not, but because... like, my four-year-old niece is a huge fan of Frozen. She sings, it's like, I had her come stay. No, she's five now. Oh, my God, time moves so fast. Anyway, she was, like, staying here, and for, like, 3 hours, she ran around my living room going, "Let it go, let it go." And she was, like, doing the dance and the stamp and everything. It was hilarious. But, like, I actually think it's a pretty good movie, and I actually think that considering that kids are like so obsessed with it, it's got a pretty cool like girl power, sister power message, and of course they're doing a sequel because it's like super successful. So I'm cautiously optimistic about that. And the only sort of issue or question that I would have is that by 2019, most of the little girls who are obsessed with it now might be too big for it. So like they're gonna have to tap into like the younger demographic, which is going to be interesting to see how they do.
But Disney has a pretty long shelf life, so I feel like by the time Frozen 2 comes out, like the younger generation, so to speak, will have already seen their older siblings' version of the DVD. I don't necessarily worry about that. I'm just excited that hopefully Jonathan Groff has more to do than sing Reindeers Are Better Than
give
People.
Him a song.
Okay? Give him a song.
Give him a song. I mean, give Elsa a girlfriend, give Jonathan Groff a song. Like, that is what we want.
Right. All right, so last little bit of Disney movie release news. They also kind of bookmarked a bunch of dates for untitled projects. So if you want to check those out, there are a couple of Disney, there's one Disney Pixar title that is currently Untitled, that's set to come out in the summer of 2021, but Disney has definitely planned out their whole slate for the next few years, and if you want to just bookmark all of these release dates for later use, you can head over to hypeable.com and check out the article and get all the information you need. But definitely exciting if you're a Disney fan.
Definitely. So moving from Disney to more Disney in the form of Marvel, Captain Marvel is going to be so good that Disney or Marvel has hired not one, but two directors, a Russo-like tag team, if you will. So Captain Marvel is obviously the first Marvel's first and only superhero movie starring a woman, Brie Larson, and one of its directors is also going to be a woman. It's Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck, who are sort of like a director pair. You can't get one without the other. And they've directed Mississippi Grind, which I have not seen. But I assume it's good since Marvel hired them. According to Variety, the studio had met with several contenders, and sources say the studio not only wanted to make sure that the search was thorough, but that the script was in the right shape before tapping who would direct it. They were looking for a unique point of view, and they're heading into a new era of films where they want to grow and change in a certain way that fits that new vision. They also directed Half Nelson, which I don't know if you guys have seen. I'm excited. I don't really have a lot of like knowledge about these directors, so it's hard to sort of actually have an opinion on it. But Marvel has done well with the directing duo in the past, and I'm sure that this is going to be good. I know Brie Larson has been going out having interviews and talking about how much she's reading up on the character and how she's like looking to find her humanity and all of that. So I have high hopes for this one.
This is like when they were like, oh, there aren't women. I know, we'll give half a woman half a thing. Like when they made it Ant-Man and the Wasp.
It's funny you say that.
No, I mean, it's fine. It's just the obvious joke.
And it's funny. It's funny you say that, because that was actually mentioned in the article too, that that it's, you know, Evangeline Lilly is appearing in the title of the sequel to Ant-Man. But, you know, I've seen some like criticism of this on Twitter, but I've also seen people sort of make the fair point that this is a directing duo. So if they like them, they couldn't just say, well, we need it to be a woman, so we're just going to pick Anna.
Yeah, obviously.
So, I mean,
I think that goes without saying. But
it is funny. You are right. It's an obvious joke to make for sure.
Yeah, I saw Half Nelson, but I think actually I don't believe they co-directed Half Nelson. I think he just directed it and they wrote it together.
I don't know. Andrew wrote it as though they did, but of course he could be.
I don't know. I'm just looking at their IMDb's. Yeah, I think they maybe were like a screenwriting duo who like became a directing duo. Anyway, so like I haven't seen anything that they've directed together, but like fine. I mean, it's so hard to tell if this even matters because Marvel keeps their directors on such a tight leash anyway.
Yes.
Like James Gunn aside. So I guess we'll see what happens, but it seems like you need to direct like about three movies, or, you know, their biggest movie of all time, for them to be like, okay, just like you do your thing. So
yeah,
this, you know, whatever, I guess, or just we'll wait and see. I'm so like, just not trying to get even any amount of excited about Captain Marvel because like everyone's hopes rest on this one movie, which is so unfair to the like creative team, but it's like also just unavoidable. And it's just tough. So okay, so moving on to some other superhero news, we have the release dates for some Fox projects, including X-Men Dark Phoenix and New Mutants. Dark Phoenix, I think we can all get excited about because we all saw Jean Grey in X-Men Apocalypse, and let's be real, that was the only reason that movie was worth watching, because they covered up Oscar Isaac's face, so like, why even make the movie? But anyway, we've now found out that X-Men Dark Phoenix is going to be released on November 2nd, 2018. So that is very exciting. And, you know, I guess we can all get behind that. We also found out the X-Men spin-off New Mutants is going to be released on April 30th, 2018. So we're getting those both in the same year. And yeah, it's all happening for X-Men fans, of which I am one. So I'm on board for this. Are you guys keen for the Dark Phoenix Are you going to be watching it? I mean,
I'm going to be watching it. Yeah. I mean, I'm not really like, I mean, this is going to be Sophie Turner, right? She's going to be starring in this. Okay. So like, I really like Sophie Turner in Game of Thrones, and I wasn't hugely impressed with her in Apocalypse. But that doesn't isn't to say that she can't do
it. Oh, really?
This, but that has me a little bit worried.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling her there, but I'm always here for female-led superhero movies wherever, in whatever form. So I'm definitely going to be watching it, but I don't have a particularly strong connection to this source material or anything like that. I'm intrigued, though, that it's going to be presumably a female super villain, right? Because Dark Phoenix is kind of a villain.
Yeah, it kind of depends what direction they go in. So the thing that has everyone worried right now is that basically all X-Men fans agree that what they did with Dark Phoenix in the original X-Men trilogy was a disaster. So
yeah,
there's that to go off. And everyone's waiting to see how this will play out. But I mean, I think you are unique in that, and it's hard to know if it's just because the rest of the movie was so ridiculously bad, but most people were quite into Sophie Turner as Jean Grey in Apocalypse, in the bit of her that we got to see. So I think people are vaguely optimistic on that front, and that, you know, the little tiny bit of the storyline that they sort of hinted at in regards to her controlling her power and everything. So that's all, I mean, that's all okay. And I guess we'll see. The X-Men reboot movies have been so mixed, so yeah, it's really hard to know. I mean, they've basically been going downhill, and I guess people are hoping that both the spin-off, which will introduce some new characters, as well as this,
and Macy Williams, isn't that funny?
Yeah, that is so random. I mean, these are the rumors, yeah, we could totally see that. So I think both of these could be good, right? To get the female-led film, which of course they should be doing, and Jean Grey is one of the best X-Men characters anyway, so that is just makes sense. And then also to introduce some new characters, so we're not constantly rehashing the same stories, which I think is maybe a problem that the reboot movies have run into a couple of times. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see both of those. And we haven't had that many details about most of them, about both of them, because, 2018. But now that the release dates are all set, we probably will get some more as they approach.
Cool.
Okay, we're going to go back to Disney now. This is kind of maybe big news if it ends up working out, or maybe not if you're just not a fan of this idea. Deadline reported earlier last week that Will Smith is officially in talks to potentially portray Genie in the live-action adaptation of Aladdin. So that's a thing that we might get, and it kind of might sound a little weird, and I think that Will Smith is such a big actor that he's bound to be polarizing as far as what fans are excited for and what they're maybe not looking forward to. But it kind of makes sense if Guy Ritchie and Disney are kind of looking at somebody like a Will Smith, because he, of course, has had a very successful music career, and he is known for his acting, comedic acting qualities and things like that. So in theory, it makes sense, but it still remains to be seen if he's actually going to sign on for this. This was particularly interesting to me just because I know that we heard earlier this year that he was potentially also going to get tapped to appear in Tim Burton's live-action adaptation of Dumbo, which is also being produced by Disney.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll be kind of funny to see if he ends up just taking one of those, or if he's just going to be going Disney crazy and doing both. But Genie is definitely one of those iconic roles, specifically, of course, because of all of our attachment to Robin Williams, who unfortunately passed away a few years ago. And he, Genie is kind of one of his most beloved roles. So if whoever ends up taking this on is going to have some big shoes to fill regardless. But it is interesting that they're looking at Will Smith, according to the reports that have been surfacing. So
I think this is great. I mean, my close personal friend, Will Smith.
Oh, that's right. You interviewed him.
We met that one time. He was so nice. So I'm inclined to be on team Will Smith. But, honestly, I think this could be really good. I mean, I think he would be, he's big enough, but he's different enough from Robin Williams, you know, like his genie. I could totally see him as this bombastic, excitable, having that energy that the genie has or had in the original, but bringing something completely different to the table. And I think that's kind of the perfect thing they need, because they can't get someone in to do like a Robin Williams 2.0. Like, that would feel disrespectful, you know, but they do need someone who's gonna make that role as big as it needs to be. And I think my close personal friend Will Smith can do that.
Yeah, I'm on board for this. I think the Aladdin, the stage musical, showed that they, like, audiences are open to them taking the genie in a different direction, and that actually it's probably, it's one of those weird things where it's actually safer for them to totally diverge from what the original was, because, like you said, people don't want to see someone doing their best Robin Williams, especially now. So, yeah, I feel like basically what you said, he can bring a totally different energy that's equally appropriate to the character. So, like, I'm cool with this. I don't have any issues with this. I think basically, like, the casting for these has been really on point. So, for, like, all of these live-action things, even if the movies haven't always been great. but, yeah, we got, keeping on casting, we got one more piece. This time for The Lion King, we found out... This is going to be the perfect movie. That Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner have been cast as Timon and Pumbaa. So joining Donald Glover and, as we mentioned earlier, maybe Beyonce, they are going to be doing their best Hakuna Matata. I think we can all agree that this is great and that we are super on board for it.
This is the best birthday ever.
Yeah, oh my God, Pam.
Thank you, Disney.
Yes, it's all coming up, Pam. So it's all really exciting. I mean, I think, yeah.
So who's who? Is it Billy Eichner? Is Pumbaa?
Yeah.
And Seth Rogen is
Pumbaa? No, no, no.
No.
The other way around. Seth Rogen, yeah. Yeah, okay. I don't know why it's been ordered this way in the story, but yes, as you can imagine, Seth Rogen will be playing Pumbaa. Billy Eichner will be doing Timon. I hope that, yeah, I hope they get to put their own kind of twist on it. That would be really fun. I'm just remembering Billy Eichner in his Parks and Rec days, which were like some of the funniest scenes in that show. So that could be super fun. And yeah, it's going to be good. I think, like, I just have no complaints about this movie as they're putting it together. It's a really weird position for me to be in.
Yeah. You don't know. They'll find a way to disappoint.
Yeah, they won't cast Beyonce and everyone will boycott the movie.
Although, to be fair, Jon Favreau also directed our favorite live-action Disney adaptation.
The Jungle Book. So it's far. So true.
Yeah.
Yes, true.
And our favorite non-Disney live-action movie, Chef. So he does all the good things.
Yes. He's batting 2 for 2, you guys.
Why am I even doubting
him? Yeah, for real. And then Timon and Pumbaa start a food truck and... No.
Oh my God. Yes, amazing. So moving swiftly along to something that's the opposite of amazing. But you know what? It kind of is amazing because solidarity with these guys. We haven't really covered this much on Hype or Hypeable because we didn't really know what was going on with it and what it had developed into. But now it's time to talk about a potential writer's strike. The hardcores who've been with us for a while will remember the year of 2008. Where the last writer's strike took place and impacted a bunch of TV shows. It did bring Dr. Horrible sing-along blog, so there was that. But we might have another one, which will, if it happens, will severely impact the 2018 TV season. But if it does happen, it will be for a very good reason, because, of course, it is the Writers Guild of America who is right now negotiating for better... conditions for writers in Hollywood, basically. We're mainly talking about TV when we talk about the writer's strike, but it does also impact movie writers. And a lot of this has to do with just studios releasing fewer movies than they did before, TV seasons being shorter, which means less work for writers, but they still have exclusivity deals, which means that they can't go out and find other jobs, which basically means that writers are struggling right now in Hollywood, and they are working to increase conditions And if those negotiations fall through, then actually a stunning 93% of WGA members, 96% even, have voted to greenlight a strike, which, as I said, would impact the 2018 season of TV, which, you know, sucks for the audience, but we're just the audience. It's it will suck a lot for the people working in Hollywood, but it obviously a strike, as with every industry, it happens because they need to prove that you need writers. You can't just treat them like crap and expect them to just carry on and do a good job. So a couple of TV shows wouldn't be impacted by this, including Game of Thrones, House of Cards, and Orange is the New Black. But since The 100 definitely would be, I don't care about any of the other ones. What do you guys think? I mean, obviously, we don't know if the strike is happening yet. We'll update you next week when we know if it's happening or not. Do you have any sort of thoughts on this? If they need to do a strike.
I mean, I think that you bring up a very good point. I think that writers are severely underappreciated usually, especially like even if you think about like the audience perception, like just like the mainstream audience, not like the hardcore fans like we are. A lot of people like, you know, only think about like the actors and actresses and things like that. But a lot of people work really hard to make our favorite TV shows. And it starts with in the writer's room. So while I definitely think it's necessary, it does kind of suck that it comes at the expense of good storytelling. And mm-hmm. And I remember the dark days of 2008. I watched a lot of YouTube in 2008. So, but yeah, so, and I think that like you said, like it did breed a lot of creativity. And it made people kind of seek out other means to enjoy entertainment, like Dr. Horrible, for example.
Yeah, but I mean, you might even argue that the web series kind of began to get their push.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I remember vividly mm-hmm. watching a lot of YouTube. So it'll be too bad, but it'll be interesting to see what happens if it does go through. We're recording this on Tuesday, April 25th, and I think you said before we started recording that they're having another big discussion about this today, right? So yeah. We'll probably hear a little bit more about it as the week progresses, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think like, so obviously like this is good that it's not good that people need to strike, but like if industries, any industry like feels like they need to strike, then I was raised in a very like extreme union family. So you have to have solidarity for like the people going on strike. I think it's hard because it affects all of us, right? So we feel like, oh, we could have a say yeah. in it. But also that's the point of a strike. Like it's not effective if it doesn't mm-hmm. actually mm-hmm. impact anyone. And I think the thing to remember is that like this is also people's livelihood. Like this is their job. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe a lot of what they're talking about also this time is like about the changes in TV with like streaming and how that all works with like, you know, the different rates that they're paid and et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's a changing market and like it's a changing industry. And that's why they have to continue to like renegotiate these things, which totally makes sense. And like it might feel annoying for us, but like it's never an easy thing to go on strike. So like no matter what industry you're in. So the fact that almost 100% of members feel like this is necessary, I think is very telling. So yeah, I guess we'll keep an eye on it. But I guess I would just caution people to be like, it might be, you know, it's always like annoying, but please don't take it out on your like writers that you're following on Twitter or anything like that. Like, this is never an easy decision for people to make. And this is like, it's like very inside baseball than like a little more than we usually talk about, but this is like super important. So they don't do this unless they feel like it's necessary. Cause this is like a huge hassle for everyone involved.
You just made a really good point though, because you're right. Like social media wasn't at the pinnacle it was the first time around. So yeah. If this does,
that's what worries me.
That actually, honestly, I didn't even think about that, but you're right. And that is going to make things very interesting, not in the good way either.
But no, I mean, it's going to be on both sides, right? Because last time, like there was pushback against especially the late night shows when they broke the strike, and like there was some pushback in sort of the media, but like, you'll be able to see that immediately on social media now if people do that. So like that will be on one side. But at the same time, I think you're also going to be dealing with a lot of people maybe potentially yelling because, you know, it's impacting their favorite shows. And like, yes, that's how a strike works. So we will all take a deep breath and we'll see what decision they come to. And like you said, we can talk about it more if it's going ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, keeping on the TV vein, we have a little bit more television news for you guys before we wrap things up this week. We finally got a trailer for Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt season 3 and a poster, which kind of plays on the women's strike event that happened all over the world earlier this year. So the trailer looks really, really fun. I guess Kimmy's going to college now, so it's kind of like a whole new adventure. And there's all this great stuff going down. Titus is worried about his boyfriend possibly cheating. Kimmy's also going through a potential divorce with her kidnapper, which is a little bit strange, but overall still on the path to self-discovery. And we're going to be getting season 3 very, very soon. It actually premieres next month on May 19th on Netflix. And yeah, I really, you know, I still think that I didn't like season 2 as much as season 1, but I am excited for season 3. I think this is just a really fun show, so I'm into it.
Yeah, I didn't like season 2 at all. I didn't even finish it. I watched season 1. I think we've talked about this before. I was really sick, and I watched it, like, in a haze, and I thought it was hilarious because I was really sick. And then I tried watching it when I wasn't, like, hopped up on like, medicated drugs, and it just wasn't as funny to me, So yeah, I won't be checking this out unless I get the flu again. And then I'll love it. So there's that. Do you watch it, Merrimah? Do you have anything to add?
Oh yeah, like I don't watch this show. So okay. I tried watching season 1. It's weird. I've heard great things. I tried watching season 1, but like the comedy just didn't do it for me as much as I love 30 Rock. Like maybe it has improved, but in season 1, you could see the punchline like 3 beats before you got there. And I was like, oh, so I wasn't that into it. But I do enjoy all the little like the scenes that go viral, etc. Like I watch those when they go around the internet. But yeah, I think Pam will have to be the representative hype viewer.
I will keep
you
all informed. I know we have a lot of Kimmy Schmidt fans, I'm sure. So we'll talk a little bit more about it when it premieres. Also, you'll probably like the trailer if you haven't seen it yet, because I think that it kind of plays up to some of those moments, like the viral moments and things like that. So,
well, if it's about like the Women's March, etc., I mean, I probably will watch it regardless of not watching the TV show. That marketing has worked on me.
Let's just say there's a great Beyoncé reference towards the end, so.
Cute. All right, so moving along to TV show of the week. Who wants to go first? Pam, you volunteer as
great.
Tribute.
I was trying to talk and then my mic was still muted. This is just really quick, but it kind of works because we're still talking a little bit about Netflix. I tuned into just the first episode of Bill Nye Saves the World because it was just
oh my
really
God, is
started
it good?
Very... Yeah, I think it's really fun. It's kind of like a grown-up Bill Nye, kind of, because he's talking more about, like, bigger issues. Like, I think, like, Bill Nye the Science Guy, like, also talked about important issues, but he is very well aware that the audience that watched him, like, as kids is now grown up, so you can tackle things like, you know, just, like, different kinds of things. So I just watched the first episode, which was on global warming, and I just thought it was, like, so fun to kind of get back into that groove. Bill Nye is something that's very much nostalgic. So if you are looking for something nostalgic that's also informative, I would highly recommend checking it out. The full first season is on Netflix, and it was just released like super timely too, because it's like right on the precipice of this year's Earth Day, and Bill played a big role in the protests that were going on around the nation. I think he talked at the protest in DC specifically. And if you want to read a really nice profile on that and kind of his lasting effect on like our generation, I would check out the feature that Washington Post put up on that because it was really well done. But yeah, the show's really fun.
Oh, I've been meaning to check this out. So that's so exciting. I just like have not had any time since it was released, but yeah, I'm going to watch it. I'll report back. I love Bill Nye and I love science, guys. It's awesome. So that'll be fun. How do you know how long the season is, Pam?
I want to say it's like 8 or 9 episodes, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay, cool.
They're pretty good. Like, it's a good length. The episodes are a good length for sure because there's not a lot of bells and whistles. Like, you know, it's not like crazy science, but it's like it's very informative and very much along like a similar vein is what you'll probably remember. But yeah, it's really fun. And yeah, it's a really good length. I think if it was any longer, I wouldn't have been able to get through, like, you know, the first episode. But I'll be excited to enjoy this like slowly. I don't think this is a show you really need to marathon unless you want to. It's very, yeah, like, cool. Enjoy at your leisure, so.
What does dumb Netflix mean, Selena?
Jake and Amy were gonna move in together, and it was so exciting, and then stupid what's-his-face comes in and makes them, like, have to go to Florida and hide, and then the season ends, and there's no season 4 because I'm foreign and Netflix hates me. So now I'm stuck not knowing what happens to my friends.
That's because season 4 is like still airing. That's why it's not.
Oh, could have been. I've been reading up like season 5 is like, but maybe that's just because it's been renewed. Because I saw that and I was
I think we're still on season 4, but now I'll have to check. But anyway, yeah, I share your frustration. That
could be. I don't know. How would I know?
That's true. You haven't seen it.
I'm just so frustrated because I don't know what happens
now. You know how I feel when I had to go and buy the 100 season 3 on DVD so that we could talk about it.
I mean, I do know how you feel because that's how I always feel.
Well,
this is the plight of being
you
foreign,
and me both. Yeah.
For both of us. So like, it's just very frustrating. It's a little bit less frustrating now that I know the season isn't done, but I had the same thing with New Girl where it's been like 2 seasons behind for 8 years.
Yeah, we're still on season 4. And then it finally it's still airing.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm very frustrated because I want to know what happens next. And I can't.
Yeah, it's been a good season so far. I'm still watching it. It's on.
You know what is airing week to week? Oh, sorry, go on.
Oh, no, I was just going to say I was just lucky because they've just added it to a streaming service in Australia. So like, and they're releasing it each week. So now I can watch it again, which is exciting. But what were you going to say?
I was going to say what they are releasing week to week on Netflix in Scandinavia is, for some reason, Riverdale. So I can watch that.
Oh, your favorite.
Because I'm so
lucky,
guys.
You know what? They do that in the UK, too. Because I have a friend that's watching over there. And she's like, I didn't know it was a CW show until like 3 weeks in. Because it's just on Netflix.
Yeah, it does say a Netflix production.
Yeah. Wait, is it not a Netflix show?
They do that for Legends.
No, it's a CW.
What?
No, it's a CW.
Yeah.
I just learned that, too.
They're bamboozling everyone.
They have like a special deal.
Speaking of the 100, they just added the season 3 to the Australian Netflix. So if anyone's been holding out, it's a PSA for you. You can finally go and watch that.
Yes, it has like all of your TV stars. So like they're all Australians. So.
Yeah.
You'll feel right at
Yeah. Home. I mean, no one, like they're not Hemsworths. So let's put it that way. Like no one knows these people, but now they do.
No, there's no Hemsworth on this show. That's true.
Yeah, they could get that third brother, maybe. They could probably afford his rate. That was mean. Sorry, third Hemsworth. Okay, well, if you've finished complaining about Netflix, I guess I'd shout out to another thing I've been watching on Netflix, which is a little different from what we usually talk about, but I've just finished watching all of BoJack Horseman, which is that animated show, and it's pretty funny. Like, I quite like it. I don't love it, but I enjoy it a lot. I've been watching with a friend and we've been watching it for like over the past couple months. So I've watched all 3 seasons and I believe there's a 4th season coming out this year, but it's like a sort of adult comedy, like a dark comedy that is animated. And the reason that I wanted to recommend it maybe to hype listeners is because it's set in LA and it's about this guy who was on a sitcom in the 90s, like early 90s, and then has sort of been a washed up star since then. And there are so many inside baseball Hollywood jokes. And it's like, if you get those references, it's very funny. So, you know, if you're looking for something slightly different, I don't know, maybe check it out. But like, that's what I've been watching for the past like several months, just on and off. It's weird. Like I had heard of this show before I started watching it and I just sort of didn't really know what it was. It's like a Bob's Burgers type show, you know, like you see a lot of GIFs and stuff on Tumblr and floating around and you're like, oh, this seems weird, but you have no concept of like what it's actually about. And then I watched it, I was like, oh yeah, this is like pretty fun. So I don't know if there are any like adult animated TV show fans, give me a holler and let me know. I tried to watch Rick and Morty after this. I did not like it. I will not be watching that further. But if you have a recommendation of something else, let me know, because that's kind of what I'm into at the moment, I guess.
Okay, so moving on to listener feedback, we're going to start with our Patreon topic. Pam, do you want to introduce that one?
Sure. This week, because for the last few weeks, we've been talking a lot about music on this show, so we thought we'd give our patrons a chance to weigh in on some of the stuff that they've been jamming out to. So this week, we asked our patrons to write in and let us know what artist, song, or album they've been loving recently. So we're just going to run through some of the comments that we got. Abby Benzine said, I'm obsessed with Stay by Alessia Cara and Zedd. The music video is a little crazy, but I love this song. I'm a huge Alessia Cara fan. Laura Morrow said, I've been loving the 13 Reasons Why soundtrack, and I never buy them. Very good selection of songs. Alex Claro said, lately I've been listening to a lot of Spanish music. The ones I keep going to are Selena. Yes, Alex, you understand me. Jenny Rivera and some banda music. My absolute ride or die music has always been Hombres G. They're a Spanish rock group from the 80s, early 90s. I'll go months without listening to them, but when I start feeling nostalgic, I go right to them. And then finally, Jamie Fraser said, I'm impatiently waiting for the Nest album from Alt-J, loving the singles they've released. Also, Dan on repeat. Also, a really good suggestion, Jamie. I'm right on board with both of those. So,
can I jump in and say I've been listening to your One Direction playlist, and
yes!
It is really great.
Do you like it? What are your standout tracks? What are your faves?
Well, I was very excited that, like, of the like two One Direction songs that I work out to, which is Kiss You is on there, which I'm like a big fan of. So I was like, oh my God, I know an underground One Direction song. I'm so hip. The other one that I was missing is Girl Almighty, because that I think is my favorite like One Direction song, but I guess that's a bigger one, so maybe that's not on there. But yeah, I really like it. It's super fun. I've been listening to it while I've been working. I don't know what has happened, but I have missed all of the Harry Styles discussion on Hype, so I just need to like co-sign everything. I am so here for Harry Styles. Like,
yes!
I am so sad that I keep missing all of these. I've been reading the Rolling Stone profile, like, on repeat, just everything. I'm about it. So
I mean,
I'm on the bandwagon.
I'm not saying, but I am saying that I wouldn't be mad if you wanted to do a Harry Styles special. I will be here for that.
Would be here for it.
For a patron bonus.
When the album comes out, can we do a review?
Should I be on it, guys?
Yes.
Since I'm a new super fan.
Well, Selena, tell us about your experience with my One Direction playlist.
Yes. So I listened to it as well, and I have to make a confession. The first time I listened to it, I was like, okay, but it's no Harry Styles single.
It's no
like,
sign of the times.
Like feeling it. It's no sign of, nothing is sign of the times, you guys. It's like my favorite song of all time. But I was listening to it and I was like, okay, well, I see why I never got into it. Because it was like, not totally my thing. But then I like totally randomly on Spotify, just stumbled over Night Changes, which is another one of their songs. And I loved that song. Like, I was like, oh my God. And I was like dancing to it and listening to it over and over again. And I was like, okay, so maybe I should like give the playlist another try. So I did, and now I'm really liking it. Like I just needed to conquer my, like, what kind of music is this? You know, what am I looking for in it? I had to get over the stupid thing where I'm trying to work out who sings which part. Like, I'm that person.
We all
know
you're just waiting for Niall.
That's what it is. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to work out
which one's Niall.
Apparently I had him, I thought.
He's the blonde Irish prince of One Direction. Duh.
He's the funny one. Like, everyone
also
knows
Selena's
that.
Favorite.
God,
sorry, guys. I am obviously even further behind the One Direction train than Selena.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. No, I also wanted to say that I did listen to Niall's single too, This Town, and I think that is very, very good. I mean, it's still no sign of the times, but it's very, very good. But I just listened to it. I forget to check which one I'm listening to it. I've just been listening to it while I've been, like, cleaning and stuff. And I'm really liking it. I want a second one. Like, going deep.
Yeah, I want another one. Listen. Pam, can you do, like, an acoustic, like, for the... This is what I need from you, Pam. I need two separate playlists, one with like all their really upbeat, like a workout kind of tracks, you know, like your Kiss Yous, your like, That's What Makes You Night Beautiful. Changes. Yeah. Et cetera. Yeah. That kind of upbeat. And then I need like a low key acoustic, like chill out One Direction playlist. Cause they're like all my two moods when working. I need like a writing playlist. Yeah. So if you could just get on that, that'd be great. That's your homework. Thank you.
Yeah, please.
Cosines. Selena cosines.
Now I know what my homework's going to be. I'll see what I can do for you guys.
Thanks, Pam.
So this next bit of Patreon business we have here, this was Marima's idea, so I'm going to let her take it away.
Oh, sure. We just wanted to give a shout out to some of our latest patrons. Thank you guys for supporting us. So to Robin Twining, Sarah Jones, Audrey Deschamps-Brower, I'm sorry, I did not say your name correctly, April Duke, Tucker Conley, and Laura Heil. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to hanging out with you over on patreon.com/hypepodcast. If you want to get a shout out Yay. On the show, you can support us on Hype Podcast, or you can send us feedback, which we will read now.
Yes, we will. We have got a bunch of feedback. Thank you so much. Last week we were like, we don't have any feedback. And this time we got loads of feedback, which is exactly what we want. Thank you so much. We're going to start with tweets. Pam and Merrima, do you want to just go down the list of those?
Sure. Sarah then says, have you girls seen the trailer for The Bold Type? OMG, want to watch that so bad. Also, I just saw Beauty and the Beast. Loved every moment of it. The singing did not bother me more than the singing in La La Land. I think both Emmas had just the right amount of help they needed with the auto-tuning.
Shots fired.
Shots fired.
Fair enough. Wow. Okay, Laura Morrow says, echoing your comments about Cursed Child, I would be shocked if not most of the old original cast does not do the Broadway run. This is common, especially when entire casts are switched out, and I hope it happens. I will be there to see it with bells on. Also, I am like 20 years too late, spoilers everywhere, but I finally got to see Party of Five from the beginning on Netflix. Yay.
Oh my gosh. Watch the Party of Five spoilers.
Finally, I was so bad at understanding science as a kid. Bill Nye Saves the World is both a funny show, but very informative. Check it out.
Oh man.
You know what, actually, on Cursed Child... I was just going to say that the Cursed Child recently like swept the Olivier Awards, and Noma Dumiswene, who plays Hermione in London, she said that nothing has been like decided or anything yet, but she's very interested in reprising her role on Broadway. I think that because there's been like casting calls out, we've been assuming that they were going to do an American cast. You know, like a local cast, like the Chicago Hamilton and stuff like that. So I think that's why we've just kind of assumed that that would be it. But it would be good if some of them came over.
No, I've called it. Like they're gonna get as many of them as they can, I reckon, to open at least for like a short run. Then maybe they'll, you know, switch it out.
Okay.
Chantel says, thank you. I loved all. Oh, this was in reference to last week. She actually, that was like the worst week for you to be gone, Merrima, because Chantel wanted summer book recommendations. So,
oh my God, my jam.
Yeah, Selena and I had to do what we could, but maybe you can chime in after this. So she wrote back and said, thank you. I loved all your suggestions. I can't believe I'd never heard of The Royal We. It's added Dante 2. I need more LGBT books.
Okay, an LGBT book, let me think. Well, if you haven't read Carry On by Rainbow Rowell, that is a really fun summer read and also has some LGBT romance, so you get that. Other books, oh, I just reread Diana Wynne Jones's Magid series, which is only a duology. There's only two of them, and the reason you may be into it is because it's like a fantasy book about Magids are these sort of like wizard type people who live on Earth but can travel to like parallel worlds. But the first book is set at a fantasy sci-fi convention. So there's like all this stuff is happening, but also all this weird con stuff is happening at the same time. And it's really, really fun. So I would definitely recommend that. And then there's a sort of YA spin-off called The Mill and Conspiracy, which is amazing. And I love it dearly. So if you need some more and if you're into fantasy, I would recommend those for sure. Okay, Mark Knope says, I think Jude Law as young Uldor is perfect. When I see Jude Law in a movie, I don't see Jude Law. I see the character he's playing. My hope is that he will have a positive influence on Depp. Depp is a great actor, but too often he's just another crazy Depp character. Fair point.
Agreed.
Shelly says, guys, have any of you seen Your Name? I went last weekend and I'm obsessed with how good it was. For context, it's the first animated movie to beat Spirited Away's record in Japan. If you like, oh, I'm going to mess this name up. I'm so sorry, Shelly. Ghibli?
Yeah.
You'll probably like this too.
Oh, I almost saw this the other week. Mm-hmm. I love Studio Ghibli. I think this might still be out in Australia, so I will put on the list and try and check it out. Okay, we have one. Oh, this one's for Selena. One last tweet. This one's from Kelpie, who says, thank you, Selena. Riverdale is so boring. I, too, gave up. I also have huge problems with 13 Reasons Why, Irresponsible, and Bleak. I know you want to talk about Riverdale, but I just wanted to say I still have not watched 13 Reasons Why, and, like, this is partly why is I've been, like, reading and thinking more about it, and I'm like, I don't know if I agree with the show existing. So I have had a bit of a, like, block of being able to, like, watch it, because I think it maybe is a bit from, like, people who have watched it and from the things that – all the hot takes that I've been reading about it, it seems like it – yeah, I'm kind of with you, Kelpie, on this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to judge when you haven't seen it, but I definitely think if you have, like, reservations against seeing it, probably don't. In general to listeners too, but we will see if we get to talking more about 13 Reasons Why. But as for Riverdale, I definitely think that I agree with you, Kelpie, but we do have some listeners who do not. One of them is George, who wrote an interesting comment on Hypeable, who said, Hypeable in general hates Riverdale for no apparent reason. The show was renewed for a second season halfway through for a reason. Which is funny to me. Not that the sentiment is funny, but because I wasn't aware that Hypeable in general hated Riverdale, but I will go look for evidence of that. And also, I will just say that as far as there being no apparent reason, in case you haven't noticed, the show is weird. It's a weirdo. It doesn't fit in. It doesn't want to fit in. Have you ever seen it without the stupid hat on? It's weird. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Pam,
are you up to that episode? Did you laugh as much as
no? I haven't seen last week's episode, but I still like. I'm still watching Riverdale, so not all of Hypeable hates Riverdale. Just maybe some of Hypeable.
No, but you don't count because you were positive.
No,
I was referencing a very dumb speech.
Was that the birthday
that
episode?
They did? It was. Yeah. It was
okay, I have seen that episode. One. Yeah.
Well, all I'm trying to point out is that there are plenty of reasons why I do not like Riverdale. That it's not, there's not no reason. There are plenty of reasons, but I'm sure that, as Pam is also pointing out, not everyone on Hypeable actually hates Riverdale. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's just me. So I think you're okay on that front.
Well, this leads in well to this first email, actually, that I kind of skimmed. And this is from Kathleen Balos. I'm assuming that I'm going to take this because it's really long. But also, I really like it because I feel like it touches on some points that I've been trying to articulate as somebody who kind of enjoys the show. So Kathleen writes, hi, guys. I was just listening to the most recent episode of Hype, and I'm answering your call to hear from listeners who still watch Riverdale. That's me. First, I want to admit that I agree. It can be cheesy for sure at points, but I still really enjoy it. I look forward to watching it every Friday night on Netflix, although admittedly, it's a guilty pleasure. I grew up on Archie Comics. My siblings and I got them in our stockings every year for Christmas, and my mom and her 8 siblings grew up with the same tradition. Needless to say, we have a massive collection, and my grandma has tons at her house that we would read late into the night when visiting her over the summer. I definitely feel nostalgic about Archie Comics, no denying it. I'm not sure how familiar you 3 are with the comics, but they're pretty cheesy too. Definitely some funny parts, but lots of cheese. In that sense, Riverdale doesn't seem that different in tone, so I'm not bothered by that. Even the comics are kind of an acquired taste. I really enjoyed seeing how how the show interpreted and adapted the characters. I almost died laughing when we find out that Archie is having an affair with Miss Grundy, since in the comics she's a grumpy old lady. Just seeing how new characters are introduced and how they adapt everything keeps me watching, but if you're not familiar with the comics, I can understand why you might be less drawn to the show. My family also has a maple syrup farm, so seeing the Blossoms family fancy maple traditions was also super entertaining. I also wanted to mention that the Jughead issue you guys had mentioned a while back about pairing him with Betty despite his asexuality isn't necessarily so clear. Over the years, the comics haven't given consistent reasons for Jughead's overall disinterest in girls. There have been a few different plots brought up at different points, but overall, in my opinion, him dating Betty didn't seem that far-fetched compared to other stories they've used for Jughead. This Wikipedia article is super thorough, though. And then she links us to this article in case anybody's curious. Well, maybe we can toss it up in the show notes, too, because I think some people had some comments, had some questions about that. Kathleen continues, I really don't mean to be insensitive, but to me, it doesn't feel like the comic book writers made the conscious choice about his character in that way, so it feels super muddled without even taking Riverdale into account. My apologies for the long email. I wish Selena was enjoying it so that there could be more discussion about the show, but I totally get why it isn't the show for everyone. Thank you for all your hard work. Love the show.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you wrote in, Kathleen, and I'm glad that everyone's writing in because they like Riverdale, because as we've already established in the show, it's cool to like what you like, and it's also cool that I cannot stand the show and think it's the worst that other people are like, but I really like it. Then, like, whatever, who cares what I think?
Also, I forgot that our extended Riverdale discussion was actually only had for our amazing patrons, so I was like, wait, I'm pretty sure I talked in length about my obsession with the comics growing up. So I'm with you, Kathleen, because I think that that is what makes the show fun for me too. And that's a really valid point. I'm not sure how many, I'm sure there are a lot of people that have read Archie comics, but, and I'm not sure that if that's why everyone's tuning in, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a large,
for me, it's just a show.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a large conglomerate of Riverdale fans that also grew up on like the comics and stuff like that. Definitely makes it more fun.
Do you guys think I would like the show? I have not watched it yet. I have not read the comics. I think
you would love Veronica. No. And that's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Watch episode 3 just for Veronica, and then you'll probably be like, this is so dumb, but she's great.
Is Veronica like the Blair of Riverdale?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
But she's nicer. She's like the reformed Blair, but we don't get to see her reform. So it kind of feels like a cheat, but whatever.
All right. We get it. You don't like it. Moving on.
I know. It's the worst.
Yeah, I know. How dare people not like stuff? We have another email. This is from Ayla Marlene, who says, hey, Selena, Pam, and Marima, longtime listener, first time commenter. Oh, that's so fun. Just wanted to say thanks for bringing some of my new favorite shows into my life over the past year. I watched Gilmore Girls for the first time along with Selena and loved hearing it dissected in real time. I also jumped on the Brooklyn Nine-Nine bandwagon, and yes, I definitely laugh out loud while watching it every time. I'm curious if any of you have checked out the new show Trial and Error on NBC. The entire first season is on Hulu, and I cannot hype it up enough. It's a murder mystery workplace comedy in the vein of The Office and Parks and Rec, so I think fans of those shows would seriously enjoy it. Thanks for the news, laughs, and for keeping me company in the car. I have not heard of this show. Have either of you?
I have never heard of this.
Me either. Pam, do you know what it is?
I have no idea what this is.
Oh, wow.
why do none of us know what this show is?
How has it flown under our radar?
I don't know.
I feel like we know everything. Well, not everything, but like most things.
We know everything. Come on.
Obviously, we know everything.
It's a new tagline for the show. We know everything.
I'm looking it up right now. Who is in this? It's like a spoof kind of...
It's not Powerless.
Okay. No, it is a show that exists. Okay. It's a show that exists. Okay. It has that woman who was Will Schuster's wife in Glee. She's in it. Jayma Mays.
Oh, Emma.
Yeah, Emma.
Oh, yeah.
And Krista Rodriguez, who is in Smash. She's in it.
Oh.
Yeah, the cast actually looks okay. And there's a character called Dave the Taxidermist. So, like, I'm into it. But I've never heard of it before.
This is kind of like when I discovered that Grimm was ending, like, 5 years after I thought it had ended. Like, some shows you just don't hear about for some reason.
That sounds cool, though. Maybe we'll... I mean, Pam is the only person who can get Hulu, so, like, you'll have to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, more hopeful for you, Pam.
Pam's like,
perfect.
Guys,
it's just what I need.
Yeah. Because you have so much free time, right? So this is perfect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't have two features due this week or anything like that.
Totally fine.
No, not at all.
No.
Should I take this next one?
If you want to.
Lila? Lila says, hi, ladies. Eep. So excited to hear that y'all are reading The Raven Cycle by Maggie Stiefvater. Is that right, Merima? Stiefvater?
That is right. I looked it up.
Yes.
Yes.
I watched your video. Can you tell?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm a YA book blogger / reviewer, and I can tell y'all that the YA book / fandom community is alive and thriving. I'm dating myself here, but it's so nice to see so many young folks excited and passionate about reading about these characters and the world. Anyhow, if you're new to the community, The Raven Cycle is a great place to begin. The characters are so lovable, and the writing is so whimsical, magical realism verging on fantasy. It's such a beloved series, and I feel like the YA community is split. We can all agree that we love the series, but some people are like, I'm not so sure about the whole TV show thing. I've always thought the series would make an excellent TV show, but hearing that Katherine Hardwick of Twilight fame is set to direct has me really worried. Plus, there's the fact that so many recent YA adaptations have been either flops or have butchered the source material, but we'll see. I remain cautiously hopeful if your book club is looking to dive into upcoming adaptations of YA books with massive fandoms. Definitely check out the Throne of Glass series by Sarah J. Maas. It's either Moss or Mass, and I can't remember. I'm so sorry. Is it Moss? Okay.
Yeah.
Which is being adapted by Hulu into a show titled Queen of Shadows, which already has a director and a script. Shatter Me by Tahereh Mafi, which is set to be adapted into a show by ABC, already has a script. And Everything Everything by Nicola Yoon, which is becoming a movie set to be released this May. I can't wait to hear your thoughts on The Raven Cycle and whatever else you choose to read. Best, Lila.
That's so awesome.
Mm-hmm. Throne of Glass is on my list, but I'm not a huge high fantasy fan, and that's the only reason I've had reservations about starting it. So if you've read it before, let me know if you feel like it's like too high fantasy for somebody that doesn't really enjoy it too much. I know that's a weird thing to say considering that we talk so much about high fantasy, but...
No, that totally makes sense. It's actually been super weird / exciting. I realized it's been so long since I've read like a YA fantasy book, like series. And it's been really fun to read The Raven Cycle for that reason, because I've been reading a lot of more contemporary YA lately, and then like other and always like nonfiction, etc. But of like fiction, a lot of like more adult fantasy, but then like more contemporary YA. So it's been super fun to like get back into a proper like YA big fandom series, and I'm excited to like be able to explore more of the fandom once I don't have to worry about spoilers. So yeah, thanks for all the suggestions.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you guys so much for all of your feedback. We really appreciate it. Please consider writing in your comments for this episode of Hype. You can do that by emailing hype@hypeable.com, tweeting us at hypeablehype, or going on hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. If you want to become a patron and see what we have on offer, you can go to patreon.com/hypepodcast. And our topic for the bonus discussion this week is going to be, what was the first TV show we got hooked on, submitted by Sarah? So that's going to be very fun. So patrons, go check that out if you want to. And everyone else, we will see you back here next week for episode 144. My name is Lena.
My name is Pamela.
And I'm Marima.
It's the
end.
Show.
Bye, guys.